get on to program number 39 this morning. Program number 39 is a continuing of program number 38, which makes our last six programs dealing with the church, churches. The church, meaning the body of Christ, the Christians all over the world who have truly trusted in the risen Savior through Paul as the apostle. Churches, meaning the local assemblies that exist. And we have embarked on the trail of finding out, what does God say should go on in church? What is the purpose of church? Why should we go to church? What should be done within that building, within that group of people that meet together whenever it is they meet? Well, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, we've been over for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for edifying the body of Christ. Now, today, we're going to look at coming in the unity of the faith, till we come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then we'll talk about not being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Doctrine is a word that most people don't want to talk about. So we looked at perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ by going through different verses in Paul's writings that dealt with those particular words. We're going to continue our little Bible study with your concordance, if you have your concordance handy and your papers or whatever. We're going to look at the faith, not your faith, but the faith. There is a difference. That's why every word is so important in your scriptures. Every word, every jot and tittle, it has to be exactly the way God wants it to be. I've even seen places where punctuation has been changed in different Bibles, and adding a comma or changing the comma to someplace else, how it totally changes the meaning. So we're going to be looking at the faith. Then we'll look up the knowledge of the Son of God. How important is that? And then we'll look up the word doctrine. Just how important is doctrine in a day and age where people just do not want to talk about doctrine? And they think that the words the faith is referring to their faith, get stronger in the faith, and then the knowledge of the Son of God is just like whatever you want it to be. I would venture to say that most people, based on all these new Bibles and all the different things that are going on in church and all the different false doctrine that's going on in the music today, the singers and quartets and soloists and bands and all that stuff, you would find out that they know nothing about the Son of God. They really don't. They just say that they're saved, and they go on living their life the way they'd like, and God blesses it because now they got a little check mark by their name in the book of life that says that they are saved. And that's all there is to it. Oh, there's so much more to it. But anyway, so let's get started. Let's look up the words, the faith. What do we see in the words, the faith? What is the faith? When it says in Acts 13:8, but Elymas the sorcerer, parentheses, for so was his name by interpretation, parentheses, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. From the faith. Not from him having faith, but from the faith. The faith. What is the faith? Acts 14:22. Now, all I'm doing here is I've got the printout of the words, the faith, and I've got a bunch of verses crossed out because it doesn't have anything to do with what we're looking for. What is the faith? Where does it talk about the faith? I guess I shouldn't say a bunch of verses. I've got a few verses crossed out that aren't important to what we're talking about this morning. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. What is in the faith? Acts 16:5 says, and so were the churches established in the faith. They're established in the faith. Not established by having faith, not established by their own faith, but established in the faith. It increased in number daily. People will ask you, I've heard this asked anyway, well, what faith do you belong to? What faith are you? And they're referring to denominations. Is a denomination a faith? Have you got the Pentecostal faith? Have you got the Lutheran faith? Have you got the Baptistic faith? Have you got the non-denominational faith? Methodist faith? Islamic faith? What are we talking about here about the faith? Well, here we go. Acts 24:24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So what are we talking about, the faith? Well, we're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. That's his faith concerning the faith in Christ. Are we talking about concerning the faith in Christ? Or are we talking about the faith in Christ? Christ has a faith. He does. His references are telling us in Galatians, for example, 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I know for a fact that modern Bibles change, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, to your faith in Christ. Now, why change that? That has been fine for 400 years. That has been telling us about the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm not justified by mine. I'm justified by his. Galatians 2:20, this is even better yet. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm alive, I'm in my body here, even though I'm cut away, so I'm not in the flesh, as Romans talks about it. This is just talking about us being alive here. For which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith is what's keeping me going. His faith is which I live now, who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we're talking about the faith, we're talking about the faith of Christ. And again, I know these modern Bibles change 2:20 Galatians into by faith in the Son of God. That's not what it's supposed to say. It's supposed to say, and it always has said, by the faith of the Son of God, by the faith of Jesus, by the faith of Christ. And in Acts 24:24, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. It doesn't say concerning his faith in Christ. It says concern him concerning the faith in Christ. That's the faith of Jesus. That's the faith of Christ. It's the faith of the Son of God. It's the faith that's in him. It's his faith. Oh, okay, so we defined that by just looking at scriptures. I didn't have to go to the local religious store and look around for a book that talks about the faith. I venture to say there probably aren't any. There probably are no books that talks about the faith of Christ. There doesn't need to be. The King James Bible is probably the only book in the whole world that talks about the faith of Christ. Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 5. And remember, I'm just reading specific verses, and I'm not the one to take a verse and establish a doctrine by it. These all have context before, during, and after. But what we are doing is we're looking at Paul's writings. This is what Paul says to us. This is what the risen Savior said to Paul to say to us. And this is the risen Savior talking about the faith. And that faith is his faith. It's not Paul's faith. It's Paul's faith because he has the faith of Jesus. Now, I do have my own personal faith. By definition of what faith is, my faith can come and go. It gets strong, gets weak. I get encouraged. I get depressed. My faith wavers. But his faith does not waver because it's his faith. And he gives me that faith. And I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith. Okay. I know. I just want people to see this. There's no reason to change that in the faith. There's no reason to change that. There is a faith. There is the faith. And that the faith is the faith of Christ. It's the faith that's in Christ. The faith in Christ. It's his faith. I have my faith in Christ, and Christ gives me his faith in return. So when somebody says, what have you received since you gotten saved? Have you received the Holy Ghost? That's not the question. That's the obvious thing in Romans chapter 8. The question is, when you talk about a Jesus and everything, do you have the faith of Christ? Have you received his faith? Pop that on somebody sometime, and they're going to look at you like, what are you talking about? And you can't show them their Bible because their Bible does not say that. You have to get out that hated King James Bible and show them where it says the faith of Jesus, the faith of Christ, the faith of the Son of God. Okay, enough of that rant. Let's go back, Romans chapter 1, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So to the faith among all nations, we would all have the same faith, his faith. Now today, we've got so many different faiths, as they call it, different denominations, different beliefs, different religions. I forgot the number, but it's huge, the number of denominations, the number of religions. And they all have faith. They have the faith in their teachings. But who has the faith of Christ? Who has his faith? Only one. Is that the Baptist? No, it's not the Baptist faith. Is it the Pentecostal? No. It's the body of Christ. of which you are a member of, because you put your faith in the risen Savior teaching through Paul, and you received the faith of Christ. No denomination. In fact, a non-denominational church has become a denomination. Have you noticed that? Let's get back to this. So now that we know we're talking about the faith, we're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay. Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So we have the faith of Jesus Christ, but somebody who's new to the body of Christ, somebody who's newly saved, they can be weak in the faith. They don't know what they need to know. They haven't read what Paul says in Timothy and Titus. So they're weak. It says not to doubtful disputations. Don't take them down the heavy, thick road of some of these doctrinal chunks that really, to me, aren't doctrinal chunks. But still, you know, telling somebody that your soul and spirit have been cut away from your flesh in a spiritual circumcision operation made without hands, they're going to go like, whoa, where'd you get that? Well, I'll show you right here in Colossians. And, you know, that could be a tough one for some folks. But when they're ready, they'll look at that and go, that makes total sense. That's why I fight amongst myself, my own flesh. That's why I have those battles. Yes, matter of fact, Romans chapter 7, Paul had the same battle. So then they're that much stronger in the faith. Is Christ's faith weak? No. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Doesn't say stand fast with your faith. It says stand fast in the faith. And here's a serious question. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. Now how do you know that? How do you know that you're in the faith? Can you prove that? You can say what you think all you want. You can have your opinion. You can have your teachings. You can have the books. You can have the people that have told you. Your parents have talked to you. All these different... Where do you get it from? I get mine from a King James Bible. It's been around for 400 plus years. It's always been there. People are trying to change it, and those that try to change it attack the King James Bible and compare it to the King James Bible. There's people on the radio stations and the radio programs that are doing everything they can to disparage and take away the King James Bible from you, deceivers who are being deceived and deceiving. Why would they want to do that? The fact that that Bible's been so attacked told me a number of years ago, there's something to that book. Like I said in my little self-biography there, that I've hopped onto this King James Bible as the Word of God, and the ride has been spectacular. My faith in the faith has just gotten stronger and stronger. Okay, let's keep going here. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Galatians chapter 1, verse 23. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, this is in Galatians, this is where they're talking about Paul. Who is this guy that used to destroy the Christians, it says here? That he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. The faith existed before Paul. Just look at this closely. In times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. In Christians, he destroyed the faith? Well, the faith was in Christ. But he did everything he could to destroy that, to disparage that, discourage that, to kill people for having it. So there were people that had the faith even before Paul, because those are the people he persecuted. Okay? And we did Galatians 2:16 and 2:20. So we flip the page over, in my case anyway here. We go to Galatians 3:23. Now maybe this makes more sense to people who have read the King James Bible and in Galatians. But before faith came, faith had to come? Sure, this is the risen Savior now that brought faith. What faith did he bring? His faith. Was it there before Christ died? No, it wasn't. Read the verse. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So this, the faith, was going to be revealed later, and it was revealed through Paul. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 3, fantastic stuff. This just makes so much sense. Up until that time, they were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards. They couldn't have that kind of faith. They did not have the faith of Christ. No, they still had to have faith, but it was their faith, come and go. They were justified by their works. Habakkuk chapter 2 tells us that. But now, with Christ dead and risen, through Paul's teachings from the risen Savior, it's been revealed to us the faith. We see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness, that would be Christ, of course, look at the context, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, and by my faith. My boldness and access to the Scriptures and access to the risen Savior, to the throne of God as such, with confidence, no matter what I've done in my life, by confidence, it's because of His faith. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by what? The faith of Him. Okay? That's exciting. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. There it is again. I'm not in Christ because of my own works, by my own righteousness. Romans chapter 4 tells me that He imputes or charges to me. He imputes His righteousness to me. So I'm found in Him by that which is through the faith of Christ, not my own righteousness. So what is the faith again? It's His faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 27, rooted and built up in Him and established in, what do you think? The faith. I'm established in the faith. I'm established in Christ. Is the in the faith referring to a denomination or to a teaching or to a religion or whatever? No. Rooted and built up in Him. That's in Christ. Established in the faith, that's His faith. 1 Timothy 3:9. Holding the mystery of what? The faith in a pure conscience. Now, the mystery. That'll be another series of programs sometime. We'll look at the mysteries that the Bible talks about, and you will find that Paul is able to explain all the mysteries. Okay? So, holding the mystery of the faith. So, Paul has the faith. Who's that? That's Christ. That's a mystery. But it's no longer a mystery with our King James Bible, because Paul explains those things. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree. And we're not talking about a Bible Institute degree or a graduation degree. Purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in what? The faith which is in Christ Jesus. Boldness in the faith. That's a deacon who's doing his job. Bunny trail here. If you were to look up the word deacon in all the verses in the Bible, you're not going to find out what the job of a deacon is. Isn't that interesting? Study deacons, and you'll see that we've kind of put that deacon position pretty high on the hog. It's a lot more important to us than it really should be. Deacons exist. What do they do? Not as much as you would think. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Say that three times quickly. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Really? How do they depart from the faith of Christ? Well, they really can't, because the faith of Christ, he would have to deny himself to deny them the faith, and Christ isn't going to do that. Timothy talks about that as well. But people can still depart from it. They can stop their Bible. They can forget what Paul taught. I could give you name after name that people that have listened to this and listened to the preaching and the teaching have really had a good grasp on Paul's teachings of the faith, and now they've left. They're not interested. They're dressing horribly. They're talking horribly. They're doing stuff they know they shouldn't be doing as a woman, as a man. Their families are different. That's just, they've left. They've left the ship. Now, it's nice to know that Christ hasn't left them, but they have. You want to hear that verse? That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, where it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Christ would have to deny himself in order for you to actually be kicked out of the faith. In order for him to kick you out of him, he would have to deny himself. He is the faith. So that can't happen. He abideth faithful. You know a song that has the word faithful? Yeah. Christ is faithful. God is faithful. We are the ones who are not faithful. And yet when we depart, we can depart from the faith, but doctrinally, he is still in us. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. But there are those that shall depart from the faith. They quit, they give up, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So you've got seducing spirits that are tricking people because it must feel good. Maybe it sounds good. Maybe it pleases their flesh, uses it as an occasion for the flesh. They enjoy it. Finally, they're happy again, and they get seduced. Music is a very powerful seducer, by the way. And one of these days, I'll be brave and we'll talk about music. I've been in music since second grade, and I've directed bands and choirs and orchestras and you name it, small, large, the whole thing. And once I started studying the Bible about music, it became a whole another world to look into. Fascinating study to look into music. So music is one of the main seducing spirits to me as I preach it. Then we've got doctrines of devils. Oh, the devil even has doctrines. Yeah, it says doctrines of devils, plural. There is one of the devil, but we don't call them demons. King James Bible calls them devils. There's a bunch of little ones too, and they have doctrines, and people follow those doctrines. I wonder what a doctrine of the devil would be. I would venture to say this, probably anything that doesn't preach the truth about Paul as an apostle and the risen Savior. If you're trying to take the Gospels, Beatitude, etc., try to apply those to people today, that's the devil taking a King James Bible, wrongly divided, and that becomes the doctrines of devil, to say exactly. Really? Sure, somebody who's preaching the patience of the saints and obey the commandments, as it talks about in Revelation 14, that's a doctrine for the tribulation. If somebody's taking that and preaching that today, they're preaching doctrines of devils. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that ministers today that preach the wrong righteousness, you know, their own righteousness, they're ministers of righteousness, they're of the devil, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now we're getting pretty strong. If we look up in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the next verse says, but shun profane and vain babblings, which is referring to anything but rightly dividing the word of truth, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That's quite a crowd right there. They're teaching doctrines of devils. Really? Wow. That's what it says. Got to believe the Bible for what it says, rightly divided, of course. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Remember, it's the love of money. Money's not the root of all evil, the love of money. If any of you have any extra money sitting around, send it to P.O. Box 327, Hazleton, North Dakota. Help us keep this program on the air. Anyway, get back on the track. I don't like to talk about money. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from, what? The faith. If money is so important to you, and I can name you people after people after people I've met in the ministry where money was so important to them, they have now erred from the faith. And I can name people that never got involved in the faith. Their love of money kept them out of it. And then it says, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's just because of the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Again, that's wrongly dividing the word of truth. And oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. They're wrong. The earth is a gabillion years old. Well, they're wrong. They've erred concerning the faith. Remember what the faith is. 2 Timothy 3:8, now with Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Remember that story? They stood up against Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Their mind is gone. No clue about the faith. And when you tell them, they can't get it. And then Paul finishes up here. He says, I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What faith has Paul kept? He's kept teaching and preaching the faith of Christ. So when somebody says, keep the faith, baby, they have no idea what they're talking about. Keep the faith, baby. The faith is referring to, and always has referred to, the faith of Christ. And I'm sure the people that say, keep the faith, baby, they're not talking about the faith of Christ. They're talking about their own faith. What faith do you have? Are you counting on your faith or the faith of Christ, the faith? Well, I kind of went long on this particular one subject. We will talk tomorrow about the knowledge of the Son of God, how important that is, and probably along with the word doctrine, how important doctrine is. So we will talk to you tomorrow.